Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Before we begin, we have a little weird exclusive, you might say. Earlier today being Thursday, August 25th, I was able to interview Jake the Snake Roberts, WWE Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts, similar to WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump. Anyways, we interviewed Jake the Snake Roberts for a piece on brightestyoungthings.com, which is up now. He will be at Baltimore Soundstage on Friday, August 26th. Is that correct, Chris? Friday, August 26th? So if you can, go see Jake the Snake Roberts live on Friday, August 26th at the Baltimore Soundstage. He'll be in Chicago and a bunch of other places where you might live. We asked him about his time at WrestleMania 4. WrestleMania 4 was held at Trump Plaza. This was the WrestleMania that had the weird tournament to see who would advance to claim the belt. This is the one Macho Man Randy Savage won. What's really important here is Rick Rude and Jake the Snake Roberts faced off in the first round. Jake the Snake had a run-in with Mrs. Trump, and this led to him being Mr. Trump's favorite wrestler.
What's the deal with the WrestleMania 7 story and Ivanka Trump?
Yep, that happened. I was wrestling Rick Rude, man, and man, she just was not paying any attention to us at all, and Rick Rude was an animal. And we'd been gutting it out for 20 minutes and just could not get her attention at all. She was drinking her little champagne, you know, had her body turned to the side, wasn't even pointing towards the ring. I considered that a huge insult. And so whenever I slid out of the ring, I accidentally spun around and had the snake, and it slapped her in the breast, you know, and she took a bump backwards over on her back. Her legs were up in the air, and Donald was running up the aisle. And, you know, I seen Donald years later and was informed by the lady he was dating at the time, Marla, that I was his favorite wrestler because of that. And the fact is that Miss Trump at the time tried to get some of her bodyguards and stuff to find me and do me in. She wanted me done in over that. And so I guess I could become your prime, you know, I don't know, maybe there's a spot in Trump's cabinet for me, and we'll see.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
And my name is Chris Kelly.
We are in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., home of the White House and home of the Trump Post Office Building, whatever it's called, both on Pennsylvania Avenue. Yeah, this is the reality in which we live.
Yeah, so we can jump right in. We got a lot to talk about. And after we did this last time, immediately stories changed.
Well, we were updating it. Well, I was hitting send on the RSS feed.
Yes.
Stuff happened.
Yeah. So since then, there's been a lot more stuff. And one of them is that that there's some discussions. It looks like Trump has been talking to his inner circle about how to monetize his followers in case this whole thing goes tits up, which by the New York Times. You've never heard that expression?
No.
Oh, yeah. It means dead. By the New York Times estimate.
No.
We can't
slow
just
down.
Breeze by that?
No.
Tyler Breeze right by
no,
that?
No. That's got to be a regional thing.
Tits up.
Yeah.
All right, dozens of listeners, let us know if tits up.
No, seriously, like, that's got to be a Florida thing.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
We'll
don't
find
look.
Out.
Don't Google tits up, because you're not going to find out the etymology.
Google image searching tits up. Thank you.
All right, so Donald Trump's buying some tits up in the ground.
Yeah, you got it. So he's figuring out how to monetize it when he probably loses this election.
$9.99.
That would be a
$9.99.
That would be some sort of television network, possibly, as the Washington Post Greg Sargent puts it. He asked the question: Trump's real endgame, a white nationalist media empire?
Question mark.
That was why the inflection. His quote would be: "All of this is consistent with the idea that Trump, as I've speculated, is very consciously sinking most of his resources into a format, rallies, that allows him to continue staging his unique form of raucous WWE-style political entertainment and building an audience that thrills to it rather than winning a general election." So, yes.
$9.99.
He's going to have the Trump WWE network. You can have all the Trump greatest hits. He can buy Is anyone putting Apprentice in syndication? He can just buy the rights for that. He probably has a. I mean, check the deal with Burnett. I'm sure he can get the licensing rights.
Do you think they're going to show WrestleManias 4 and 5 on the Trump Network?
They were very big deals. They were pretty huge WrestleManias, and yeah, they probably would. They could figure that out.
Oh, it's so fun. Yeah. So pretty much everyone's been catching up to us for the past year.
Maybe they'll get it. 98 days to go, or no? It's even it's 80 late, 88
something days.
Yeah, or 80, whatever it is.
Let's timestamp this. This we are recording this on August what?
25th.
August 25th at 8:15 p.m. Yes. In theory, this will be available online Friday morning, August 26th. Inevitably, around 11 a.m., hours after this has gone up, something major will have happened and will alter the entire landscape of the 2016 presidential election.
Yeah, as it's been happening every 48 to 72 hours.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. One of the other stories that happened this week that we pretty quickly found a wrestling analog was that the fact that Melania Trump is suing, I think, the Daily Mail, saying there was defamation, that they said she was an escort in the 90s. Mm-hmm. A couple of pretty major defamation-type cases in the WWE history.
Yeah.
One of them they won, and it was pretty great. It was against the Parents Television Council, Brent Bozell, and the kind of right-wing Family First people. They had said that watching SmackDown caused four children to kill other kids, something like that, or the death of four children.
Yeah, if you ever read Mick Foley's second book, I've read all of them, by the way, don't worry. In his second book, he spends about 100 pages on this lawsuit.
Right.
Keep in mind this came out soon after 9/11, so it was real important stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, the WWF and the WWE was accused, and the WCW, of like really damaging children. Clearly not true. Really no different than any video game, any television show, any movie, whatever. It's clearly like bad parents or bad babysitting in this example with the Parents Television Council.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very, very sad.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much exactly what the parents, the PTC or whoever could say right now about kids watching a Trump rally.
Yeah, this would cause bad behavior.
So it's a snake eating its own tail. And now she's Melania Trump. Wife number three, no shade, and having three wives. This is not new in either field.
Right.
Trump's been known to sue more people than anyone else ever. There's always a lawsuit. It seems to be there's always a lawsuit either against the WWE, usually against the WWE. Currently, there are 51 former wrestlers suing the WWE. That's going to get thrown under court.
Yeah.
Court case, insert noun, done.
And the other... one that's currently happening, which I couldn't find a real update, is the fact that one of the WWE's doctors is suing CM Punk and Colt Cabana for defamation for things that Punk said on Colt's podcast.
Yeah, so The Art of Wrestling is the most popular wrestling podcast, and while that sounds like a joke, it gets more listeners than most every television show that you'll hear. That specific show got a few million downloads, and in the episode, Chicago-made Punk talked about how maybe if his wife didn't tell him to go to a different doctor, he'd be dead.
Right. That whole lancing of the MRSA infection that hit the ceiling type of stuff.
So real disgusting stuff, really life-threatening stuff, and that is one of the reasons why it's unlikely we will ever see CM Punk in a WWE ring ever again.
Yeah, but we'll be keeping an eye on that case. Another little tidbit here, and this just kind of, it just is the spirit of the thing. There's not a clear analog, but this coming through the FEC reports, news outlets found that Trump, since he was self-funding, and now he is taking in donations, since that change was made, he is now charging nearly five times as much rent for the Trump Tower office space that he uses as headquarters. That's just called a grift. that's what wrestling is. It's just a bunch of carnies. I think we've tried to get that across in this whole podcast. The closest thing I could find is kind of looking back at the 80s with Vince McMahon and how he went from running one regional fiefdom to ruling almost all the fiefdoms. It was just a series of grifts. He would buy someone's TV slot. He would, you know, lowball someone on a different offer. He would steal their stars. It was a lot of, and he even admitted to smoke and mirrors, it was cash flow. At any point, the whole thing could have fallen apart.
And it didn't. And the fact that it didn't is very, very surprising. It's not that much different than how Donald Trump got his first giant property in New York City. Once again, we're pretty much just saying, read the Washington Post, and then let us tell you how it relates to wrestling.
Yeah, that's what we do every day.
In that brand new Trump book that the Washington Post just put out, there's a big section about this. if you listen to Fresh Air this week, that was the Tuesday episode. That'll shine some light on that. The way Trump got that first hotel, not that much different than how McMahon got all of the territories.
Yeah. It's a lot of promising on future stuff that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Yes. Probably the biggest story this week is Trump's continued almost pivoting on an issue, but not really. As we keep seeing, and we've been seeing since May, of this idea that there's a kinder, gentler general election Trump waiting in the wings. Like we said, it's August 25th. Haven't seen this guy yet. But Trump did come out and speak a bit about race.
Our government has totally failed our African-American friends, our Hispanic friends, and the people of our country, period. The Democrats have failed completely in the inner cities. For those hurting the most, who have been failed and failed by their politician year after year, failure after failure, worse numbers after worse numbers, poverty, rejection, horrible education, no housing, no homes, no ownership, crime at levels that nobody's seen. You can go to war zones in countries that we're fighting, and it's safer than living in some of our inner cities. They're run by the Democrats. And I ask you this, crime, all of the problems to the African Americans, who I employ so many people, to the Hispanics, tremendous people. What the hell do you have to lose? Give me a chance. I'll straighten it out.
Everyone should subscribe to Politico Playbook simply because every once in a while they do a funny clarification. My favorite clarification of this week was, for the record, not all Hispanics and blacks live in war zones. Something right to that effect.
They're not in the second hour of Monday Night Raw in the 90s when the Attitude Era, the war zone.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, he did make his pitch. It was, you know, I'll get rid of the crime, so you'll be able to walk down the street without getting shot. Actually, let me find the exact quote. Oh, yes. As I said, with such deep felt feeling, what do you have to lose? I'll straighten it out.
So why do I love JBL the longer this election goes on? Because it's just, I hear JBL's voice in my head.
Because JBL should be getting royalties from the Trump
campaign.
This
is so good. JBL is so great. What a great soothsayer.
Yeah, he predicted it.
That's
all.
That's why he's on Fox Business.
Yeah, he's predicted this all. I mean, you know, we're not really taking these statements seriously, but, you know, someone who did was Kellyanne Conway, who she said, I'm white. I was very moved by his comment. I mean, she's also one of the highest up staffers in the Trump campaign.
Good.
And all this stuff of Trump saying that black people live in war zones, having this really like post-apocalyptic kind of alt-right idea of what it is to be a person of color, especially black in America, really reminds me of the great tag team Crime Time. That would be spelled CrymeTyme. This was in 2006.
This was a decade ago.
Not long ago at all. Crime Time is the team of Shad Gaspard and JTG, no longer employed by the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
When the WWE, when they were working their way up from OVW, from the developmental, they were told to kind of work on this gimmick of being stereotypical black street hoods, toughs, whatever. Put on a bulletproof vest and a wife beater.
One looked
chains
like a cross between Nelly and 50 Cent.
Yeah, it was 2006.
So
that's as
just
timely
put
as
that
they've
in
been
your head.
Yeah. So whatever a rap video looked like then, do that. And they were actually first called the Gangstars, but I think they changed the name.
Because there is a group called Gangstar.
Yeah. But they announced that this team was coming on WWE.com. In an effort to humor and entertain our fans, the tag team known as Crime Time will be parodying racial stereotypes. Chad Gaspard and JTG do outlandish, outrageous stunts to ready themselves for tag team action on Raw. This attempt at Saturday Night Live-like humor is bound to entertain audiences of all ethnic derivations. We hope you enjoy the weekly adventures of Crime Time. That was a press release. That's like a Trump level press release, though. You know, like the ones you're like, who talks like this? Like it's a Vincent Adult Man like doing your press release.
Is it a parody? Is it a parody?
Is it a parody of
or
a
is
press
it perpetrating?
Release? Oh,
no,
it's perpetrating a stereotype.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't it say parodying?
Yeah. They don't know what it means.
It's sort of like how Trump's like, I was joking about the guns.
Come on, I was joking. The Adventures of Crime Time was a series of vignettes where they were working on their different skills, speed, endurance, durability, and they were basically carjacking people, robbing people, bench pressing a white woman, you know, stuff you'd do when you're preparing for the tag team division on Raw. You know, that year there was the internet show Bite This was a WWE thing.
I don't know this.
On WWE.com. It was, I guess, for a year or two. Okay. A couple years they had an internet show. And there's a thing that they have now that's kind of like this.
Swerved?
Talking Smack, which we'll get to in a bit.
Oh, okay.
But I think, you know, the idea was that nobody was watching it, so I think guys were a little fast and loose with kayfabe. But they did have Vince on, and Vince kind of out of kayfabe when he was asked about Crime Time. And this is a quote because video of this does not exist anywhere. It's been scrubbed from the internet for some reason. But he said, come on, it's the opposite of racist. Go to .com on the family page. You'll see exactly what we're doing here. It's fun. That's what we're selling. It's fun. I don't know how it could be racist, and I don't know how our company could be racist. Crime Time's a riot. It's basically a takeoff on Kill Whitey. Is someone going to take exception? Sure. If I'm not pissing somebody off in the world, I'm not doing my job. And that's Vince McMahon.
Oh,
this
God.
Idea
this
that
is so great.
I don't know how it could be racist. How could saying that like all blacks live in a war zone be racist? I'm not racist.
Like you said, I've watched the second hour of Raw. I get it.
Yeah, I know what a war zone looks like. Another guy who knows what a war zone looks like would be Nigel Farage. I'm not pronouncing that right, probably, but he's the head of UKIP, the British party behind Brexit.
Yes.
Kind of hard right party there. He appeared at a Trump rally in Mississippi, which I'm pretty sure they're just doing this Mad Lib style at this point. No idea what politically that was supposed to do or why Trump is rallying in Mississippi, other than point one about that whole white nationalist television network. And you brought up a good point that the wrestling analog here would be Eric Bischoff,
yeah,
one-time booker of WCW. After he had run WCW into the ground, which I'm reading a really good book about that right now called Death of WCW. It's pretty great about how you shouldn't let Carney's Karn with your millions. It doesn't work.
Carney's going to Karn.
Eric Bischoff, you know, after he had helped run one federation in the ground in 2002, he came over to WWE and to try his hand there. It didn't work, but he had the 3 years as the on-screen authority figure.
Why? I don't get it. Like, I genuinely do not understand why like a kid would be like, yay, Eric Bischoff's the GM. I don't understand.
Well, they continue to do that. Who is like, oh, I can't wait to see what
bullshit.
What Stephanie McMahon gets into.
No, but you have to have the McMahons there because they're playing off of each other, but that's why they have Daniel Bryan and Mick Foley there. I completely understand everyone's role in this situation.
Sure, but the fact that, yeah, and people like the pop of Shane coming back, but that is diminishing returns.
I understand that. But it's brother versus sister. That's a little kid. They could get that. It's boy versus girl. They can get that.
Sure.
And then the other ones are for people like us, those smarks. And then, so it totally makes sense. But Bischoff? Who's that for?
What was his, like...
Who's calling for Nigel?
Yeah, you're saying he doesn't have a, you know, like a voting base that he's speaking to? Yeah, you're probably right on that one.
Okay, that's all.
Yeah. You know, and I think this podcast, you know, you are bringing this up. We do talk about Donald Trump a lot just because he does seem to understand the lessons of wrestling a lot better. But that doesn't mean the other side doesn't have, you know, some its own analogs to the world of wrestling. So this week, one of the big stories for Hillary Clinton is that Julian Assange of WikiLeaks has said that they will absolutely release significant documents before the election, possibly in October. When a usual October surprise kind of throws a wrench into the proceedings.
Should we be? I guess it's not. Doesn't matter if it's bipartisan. I'm not a fan of Julian of Assange.
Accused rapist, Julian.
Yeah, that's
Assange?
All I'm saying.
Yeah,
not a good dude.
Yeah. Well, considering you know your staunch anti-rape stance is why you're into wrestling, I think you can continue that.
Yeah, that's actually. I know that sounds like a JK, but it's not.
No,
that's weird that I'm like the one guy that was like, oh, fuck Patrick Kane. I got to get into wrestling.
Not a lot of people made that jump. But yeah, this is, you know, and this is one of these things. The emails that were leaked, the Benghazi hearings, all this stuff, this new thing with the Clinton Foundation, this big story the AP ran going, there was a connection. If you donated to the Clinton Foundation, you would get to talk to Hillary. And when they looked at it, it was like, yeah, she would have like a cup of coffee with you.
Yeah, it's not a thing, but it's no different than the Vince Foster thing.
Or Whitewater.
It's
or Travelgate.
Exactly. But because Hillary doesn't realize we're not playing by those rules,
right?
She's like a victim.
Yes.
Or all she has to do is come up with a stone-cold response of, what?
Yeah, I think...
The same way last week,
yeah.
Says who?
Says who?
Says who?
Yeah, there's stuff in the emails.
Yeah.
Says who?
Team, bring it. Come on, Hillary. That's your problem. Like, Hillary does not understand any of these lessons, and it's so clear from an outsider's perspective. Like, oh, yeah, this is totally going to work.
Right.
You have to play the game. You have to realize it's a game. There's a song about how it's a game. Fucking play it.
Yeah. Politically, I think, you know, as we're waiting for this October surprise, I think we can probably assume, no matter what accused rapist Julian Assange says, there's probably nothing in this, or we would... I mean, this is
so
the thing.
So what you're saying is someone that's been in the public eye for roughly 25 years, that was a first lady, a senator, and a secretary of state, there's not one secret that could blow all of this out of the water?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
just wondering.
And
so you're saying the Undertaker isn't dead. He's a real man.
I haven't done any research recently.
On his third wife.
We're not wife-shaming here, I
thought. Sorry.
Yeah. So the comparison here was, as we're talking about the McMahons, coming back this year was Shane McMahon, came back shortly before WrestleMania star. and his big...
The official name for WrestleMania 32, WrestleMania star.
Their numbers make things sound old, Brandon. Don't you know that? And Vince can never die, so there's no numbers mean anything anymore.
Now, what do these numbers mean?
They don't mean... Like, if you're using them to describe, like, years that he's alive, it's kind of irrelevant. So, when Shane came back,
yeah.
his kind of work shoot was like, well, Stephanie and Triple H are running this company in the ground. I want back in. And he said that he had a lockbox, something he was holding over Vince McMahon's head that would allow him to come back. And somehow he would have to fight The Undertaker and win to take control of a show. He was thrown off the cage. He definitely did not win. He was thrown off the Hell in the Cell. He almost died. His year, it would have been Shane McMahon, 1972 star, because that would have been the end of that. But this lockbox is never, like, great.
It's not a thing.
No, it's not a thing. It wasn't a thing even in storyline, and it's just a great, you know, this is the kind of stuff that happens. A great promise of a big secret.
What's that line you write for the episode, not the series finale or something like that?
That's a good line.
A bad line. Horrible line.
I mean, it rolls off the tongue, obviously. Well, you have to do a lot of that writing for the episode, especially like in this week, since Saturday, when there was 16 hours of live programming, not just on the WWE Network, but on their good friends, the USA Network.
Okay, so before we begin, let me just say I was out of town. I did not watch. I watched maybe 30 minutes of this live.
It's embarrassing.
Did you watch all of it?
A lot of it. Way too fucking much of it.
Who's embarrassed? I should be embarrassed for not watching it live, or you should be embarrassed?
I'm wearing a shirt that I bought at Walmart in the rural areas of Delaware that says Raw on it. I'm past embarrassment.
Okay, so Saturday night was NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2.
Yes.
From what I saw, it was very good.
Right.
You went last year.
I did, and it was better.
I saw the one match. My wife had to do work at the time, so I was like, I'm going to pull this up on the network on the shores of Maine.
So I'm good, like, use of your vacation.
I'm like a cute bed and breakfast. I'm like, there's Wi-Fi here. I got to watch Asuka. So I watched Asuka Bailey. That was great.
Yes.
I loved it. And then I watched the start of Samoa Joe Nakamura and the end of that, and that happened.
There is a bit of that happened to that match. Nakamura's entrance with the live violinist, amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
The fact that they kind of sold it that he actually hurt Joe, and everybody got worked on that. He's not, Samoa Joe's not injured, but
he's the one guy in the company, spoilers, not injured.
Support, yeah.
No, Nakamura is still my favorite wrestler after this weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm not like throwing shade at Nakamura. Yeah, yeah. No, it was great. It was fun. I don't understand. There are no political equivalencies to my knowledge in any of this.
Correct.
Let's move on.
Well, I'm going to nod to two quick things
okay.
that you should watch.
All right.
Is eventually you should watch Bobby Roode's entrance.
Why?
Bobby Roode is basically, you know, everybody, every heel does an impression of Flair. He's doing a very good one. He came out on like a 20-foot. They did like a cherry picker entrance where he's way high. His theme song is Glorious. That's the name of it. It is also Glorious, lowercase g. He's doing a Rick Roode Flair type of thing, and it's nice. Great. I think you'd appreciate it. Also, the Revival versus Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
I heard that was great.
That was probably the best match of the night. It was just an amazing, like, so many false finishes that I actually bought, which did not happen. I knew how the other matches kind of had to end.
Yeah.
And this one, I could see it going either way, and it was really good. And it's interesting because in that, one of the guys on the face team, Gargano, this was live Saturday from Brooklyn, and they injured. The storyline was that they injured his knee. They worked his knee, and then he eventually taps out. At a Cruiserweight Classic that was aired last night but was filmed 6 weeks ago, the storyline was that his knee was injured on Saturday. So they actually, for a company, as we will see, writes on the fly, they managed to plan a story out 6 weeks ago and actually stick to it.
See, they're saying there's more continuity in a wrestling company than with the Republican nominee for president.
Yeah, like when you're trying to say, no, he hasn't changed his position, he's just changed his words. Yeah, there's more continuity
right.
in NXT.
Let's move on to SummerSlam.
So SummerSlam.
The Smarks WrestleMania.
Which I think, as soon as, you know, that was pointed out mm-hmm. by people like David Schumacher, I think now it's not that anymore.
Okay, let's run through the card really quick. It was in Brooklyn. That's a nice place. I did not watch the two-hour pre-show.
There were three matches on it.
I believe you.
Those happened.
Okay, great.
We don't even have to really... there's a couple matches on the card that bear mention. One is Charlotte defeating Sasha Banks and re-winning the women's championship.
And re-legit injuring Sasha's back?
Masa Manos. Like, she was actually injured already. That's the word backstage is that from the internet. Like, I'm backstage. Who the fuck am I? So the word online about backstage is that she was already injured. That's why they were taking the belts off her.
Fair.
That said... Apparently, Charlotte also did get dressed down a little bit about this because she was working her back a little too much. There's a spot in this match that you would have to see on the network because all GIFs of it have been removed from the internet by the
really?
WWE. Yeah, WWE shut down. This is like one of the bigger stories out of this weekend for like wrestling fans is the fact that they did Digital Millennium Copyright Act shutdowns on Death to All Marks and Senora Lariato, two really great Twitter accounts that. You know, did GIFs, they did commentary, they retweeted a lot of wrestlers, they were, like, pretty great news sources, but apparently they were not really happy, like, the GIFs of, you know, Sasha breaking her neck and back.
Yeah.
They don't want that repeated across the internet.
Huh.
So, but anyway, Charlotte is your two-time WWE Women's Champion.
That's actually not that, that's, the political analogy is Hillary Clinton just refusing to do press conferences, in a way.
Yeah.
They can control the narrative a lot more if it's just a one-on-one. It's allowed her to ask three consecutive follow-ups about a specific topic. This week's NPR Politics podcast has a lot of good stuff about that. That's a wrestling to politics analogy. Is that connect?
Yeah, I think you landed it. Probably the biggest match of the night was the fact that AJ Styles defeated John Cena after a 23-minute match.
Yep.
You know, the thing that needed to happen in storyline actually happened.
Sure.
And John Cena left his Never Give Up headband in the ring, armband, I guess, in the ring.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear it on his head. He wears it on his bicep, which is the
gigantic.
Size of our head. He's like, his bicep's like an 8.5.
24-inch python. It's pretty good. I'm sad because I prefer John Cena to AJ because I'm a liberal. I'm a liberal man.
Yeah, but I'm a wrestling fan. That supersedes politics.
Fair enough. I think we should mention that John Stewart was there for the second consecutive year.
Yes.
The Brooklyn crowd, not big fans for Jon Stewart. Not hating Jon Stewart.
No.
They're just like, why again?
But also last year, I will say, to the power of storytelling, not just the power of positivity, is the fact that last year, his feud and then subsequent swerve with Seth Rollins was well established. Seth
it was.
Had shown up on
it
Daily
made sense.
Show. He had showed up on Raw. He already hit Seth in the balls. Mm-hmm. And so when he hit Cena with the chair, it was a swerve. There was actually a story there. He had also just left Daily Show.
Yes.
Now
so it was a big deal.
Now he's just like
you saw him Thursday night on the last Larry Wilmore show.
Yeah.
But it was still good to, and I want to bring this up every single time, liberal people could like wrestling.
Yeah.
It's not conservative or liberal. It's not a blue state or red state. We like AJ Styles in the blue states. And
no, you really should do the 2004 Barack Obama.
Kids in red states love AJ Styles.
Yeah, in all the gay communities around the land. But, you know, John Stewart's there. His kid loves it, and his kid likes the New Day, because why wouldn't he? So you got John Stewart out there in a shirt selling a cereal that's about eating ass, and, you know, everyone had a good time. I mean, they threatened to hit his balls on the ring post. Like, it's comedy that everyone gets.
It is. It's
they
literally
also brought out jars
comedy.
The size of the balls, and when they brought out the small mason jar for him, they cut to him, and
he's
you know,
like, yes, I have
yeah,
very
that's
small
accurate.
Penis.
That's accurate. So, yeah, that unfortunately, that storyline didn't work there, because he'd barely been mentioned in passing in the work week leading up to it.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
They didn't promote it.
I feel like the year prior, it was the main promo.
It was a big deal.
It
this
wasn't
year,
like, go see the wrestling show. It was like, go see Jon Stewart in his first post-Daily Show thing.
So to do it in a match where they had written the story one way, I mean, just the quick wrestling story here is that they took out, in a three-man tag team, they took out the biggest, strongest guy. You know, the storyline would be, that's why the heels are able to win the belts, mm-hmm. move the story forward. But they threw Jon Stewart in there, DQ'd the belts, whatever. One of the other things that happened was Eva Marie could not be there because she's suspended for 30 days for not giving them her Adderall paperwork or some bullshit. Probably definitely not for taking the illegal supplements her husband slings. So the returning Nikki Bella joining the heel team, but we'll get more about that in a second. What did you think about Nikki Bella coming back?
I like Nikki Bella, but what I'm interested in is who in the Trump camp is selling illegal supplements, because there's got to be someone tangentially related to this campaign that has a side deal.
That has a stock in Shreds with
yeah,
a Z.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some research on that one. By the way, you might appreciate this. Nikki Bella's new finisher, since she's no longer going to drop humans on her neck and break her neck, is the TKO, mm-hmm. Popularized by Mark Merrow, the first husband of Sable, current wife of Brock Lesnar.
God, it's such an incestuous, disgusting group.
Yeah, I mean, we
people.
Can skip to that part and maybe backtrack, but Brock Lesnar headlining, even though, you know, two part-timers headlining for not a belt.
Orton's not a part-timer.
We'll see what happens after that.
Fair.
So this was a match that went about 12 minutes. Brock.
Yeah, okay, really quick, we should mention the timeline. This is a four-hour show.
Yes.
The last two matches were not squashes, but they did not... Did the second to the last match even start?
One match did not happen. Roman Reigns versus Rusev did not
happen. It was just 10 minutes outside of the ring with one person screaming the entire time.
It was Roman Reigns beating up the happily married man who loves his wife.
Because he's
over
the villain.
Over again.
He's the bad guy.
Because he's a bad guy, because he's foreign.
So, and then... The match that they've been selling since pre-UFC fight, because they announce this, because you don't know how the outturn is going to be, was going to be for the UFC steroid palooza, was Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar. And I noticed in the time, it was like, there's only 15 minutes left. This
right.
is weird.
Now, they could always do an overrun. They're not doing really doing pay-per-views.
Keep in mind, I don't watch it live.
Sure.
So I could see the clock, and I was like, that's weird.
That's true. I think this one happened, I want to say it happened a little after a lot. I think the thing went overrun. Mm-hmm. But basically, you know, one thing I noticed was I think Brock is cycling off from whatever he was doing that got him potentially banned from the UFC, because he looked a little sluggish on those Germans. Didn't look like his, you know, I'm a white boy and jacked physique.
To be fair, Randy Orton's a lot bigger than most of the guys that he's doing that on. At least leading up to this, he did it to, like, Heath Slater.
sure. But I've seen, I mean, he's done it to Reigns and looked better, right?
Sure, yeah.
So
okay.
He did it to The Undertaker, who's legit 300 pounds. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so Orton did hit the RKO on the table, and the table doesn't break, which is always a nasty
Ugh.
Spot. It hurts for everybody. But then when they got back in the ring, you know, Lesnar realized he couldn't put him down, and he does a ground and pound and starts hitting him with the UFC-style elbows. It's clear almost immediately that there's a pool of blood under Randy Orton's head because he's been busted open the hard way. Well, that means not using a blade like they did in the 80s and
90s. And early aughts.
And anytime they want.
And any indie show.
Hard way. Just yeah. hit a guy in a metal chair enough, he'll bleed. So they ended this match with a technical knockout, a TKO. Brock Lesnar still looks strong, everybody. And they just killed a guy. Not killed, but they killed any heat that Randy Orton had. So, once again, my sources backstage, the internet, says that the plan was for him, they said.
For who's the him?
Brock Lesnar was to bust open Randy Orton. They were like, he knows how to hit you with his elbow that you can bleed. We won't have to do hard way. Because this is the thing. They don't blade. Because if they get caught on camera blading, that hurts them with sponsors.
Totally.
But oopsie daisy, if this scripted fight, a guy hit another guy in the elbow, in the eye with his elbow, you know, what could we have possibly done differently about that? So Orton was not pleased that this was going to happen. He was not pleased, definitely, the way it ended, where he needed 10 staples in his head. But the fact that, yeah, this was not, this was a planned thing, was to go out there and give a man with head injuries, previous head injuries, another head injury to make the part-timer who might be gone after next WrestleMania look strong.
Cool.
Carney's going to Carn. So the other big thing that happened that was pretty much overshadowed by this was the fact that the first match for the WWE Universal Championship, a 19-minute, a pretty solid 4-star match, Finn Balor,
sure,
Seth Rollins, that Finn Balor ended up winning. Mm-hmm. But not after his arm had been his shoulder had been dislocated and he popped it back in himself with about 10 minutes left to go in the match.
This is so disgusting.
So Seth Rollins, okay, so Finn wins. Monday night, Finn had to relinquish the belt and go down to Birmingham and get surgery. They'll take him out for 6 months.
Jesus Christ.
Seth Rollins now. Cena.
Sting.
Last year, Cena at last year's SummerSlam, right? I think it was.
No, it was Night of. No, Night because of they fought at Night of Champions.
So wait, he killed two guys at Night of Champions?
No. And he Sting busted was, he busted open Cena's nose at like a Raw.
Okay.
And then he killed Sting
and
in Night of Champions.
Sting. Well, you know, Father Time had a hand in that one too. 56-year-old taking a buckle bomb. But no, he did the same move. Basically a powerbomb into another thing, and Finn took it badly. And Finn's also a 35-year-old man with a lot of miles,
yep,
and this has been a concern about why he was wasting his time playing 200 people in Florida when he's 35 and injury prone. So their brand new face of their company is out, but he'll make a triumphant return, hopefully in time for WrestleMania Orange.
So to me, the wrestling analogy is Jeb Bush.
Yes.
Jeb Bush, if you think about it, probably should have ran in 2000. He might have won. He probably would have been a better president than his brother, you know? Maybe you run Jeb in 2008. He's not the worst candidate. Maybe you run Jeb in 2012. No. We're going to put Jeb on the shelf. Jeb will come on 2016, and 2016 will be the big Jeb Bush coronation. We're going to have a big party for him in Ohio. People love the Quicken Loans Arena. LeBron's a big WWE fan. It's going to go great. Nope. That didn't happen because you wasted your fucking time. And now Jeb's gone because this crazy person got in there. This crazy person that does all this CrossFit stuff, and he's got a Nazi girlfriend. He doesn't understand it.
I was going to say, palling up, the guy who pals up with the alt-right. Don't trust that
Seth
guy.
Seth Rollins is your Donald Trump for the SummerSlam 2016 event.
Yes, he is. So that whole story that they were writing, both the Republicans and Vince McMahon and company,
got
to change
the
window. So what they did on Monday was they worked towards going to have a Final Four between Big Cass, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Kevin Owens.
Sure.
On Monday.
Sure.
So just keep the parade going. We'll have maybe one of those guys won't be injured
or suspended.
Well, I mean, the wellness Armageddon that's supposed to happen still hasn't happened. It's Thursday at 8:50, but who knows? The last ones came out. This is more internet rumors that there was more suspensions coming.
Is that like right now? It's literally right now. It's literally Thursday. No, it is Thursday at 8:50.
No, I'm saying that's when it's happening.
Right now.
We're doing this.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So anyway, the other...
So it'll be Rusev versus Big E for the championship.
Yeah. You know, last week we talked about WWE's open to having LGBT mm-hmm. characters and storylines in the future. I didn't think it was going to happen on Monday, and the way they're treating this online, I don't think they're going to count this one. But as we've been rebuilding Braun Strowman as a killer of small men.
You mean Big Strongman?
Big Strongman. Brown Strongman. He's white Strongman. But so he's been going out there, and they've been doing a really old school thing and letting these legit jobbers, local wrestlers, local talent, cut a promo. Basically, why the fuck are you going to do this? You're going to get reverse choke slammed and stare at the lights. And guys have had novel reasons. I get $1,000. If I win, I get $5,000. On Monday, Johnny Knockout, a real wrestler from New York, he was asked, why are you doing this? And he said, because I like big, sweaty men.
So great.
Yeah, so that's been totally scrubbed from the internet, from all versions of this.
Do you think that's... Ted Cruz saying vote your conscience? Do you think that's what there's gotta be,
but we've already been so far down in this one and we're almost done. Almost getting to my favorite part of the week. if you want to see more Johnny Knockout, go look up True Life, I Need Anger Management, because that's what he was really on. He wasn't on True Life, I'm a Wrestler, unfortunately. So then we got to Tuesday, SmackDown Live. Nikki gonna make her in-ring debut, and they get, you know, they bring
her solo.
Solo.
In-ring return, not debut.
In-ring return, that's correct. Because she'd come out and kind of, even though she was coming back from a life-threatening, literally life-threatening surgery and injury, she came back and joined the heel team just because that's where they needed a warm body. So they're going to bring her out, do an interview. She's getting the pop like a face. What are you going to do? So she's supposed to face Carmella, another face. So Carmella jumps her and beat the crap out of her and gave her one of her old finishers and then left the ring. And that's how you do a double turn. That's the best way to do that. We've seen that. That's how a double turn happened at the GOP convention.
So that's Ted Cruz.
That's
pretty
Ted
much
Cruz.
Every wrestler this week is Ted Cruz or Donald Trump.
Yeah, so I think...
And
so
Roman
Carmella
Reigns
is...
No,
and Cruz is Carmella.
Cruz is Carmella, for sure. Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah. She did not endorse Nikki Bella. So we're going to have definitely... We're now building towards a Bella-Mella feud. There's
that's
also
a good name for a feud. I love
yeah,
that.
And if they ever get back together, tag team. So also they're doing a tag tournament there. The funny thing about this brand split... I don't know the political implications of this one yet. There's not enough bodies. So when you do an 8-team tag team tournament, you need 16 people. They don't have enough guys to do that. So right now they have candidate Rhino and Heath Slater.
IRL Michigan House candidate Rhino.
Rhino, real name.
In Dearborn, Rhino. Michigan, Rhino is the... this is a serious thing we want to keep bringing up because no one's talking about it.
And Heath Slater, who is, you know, in kayfabe, does not have a contract to do this.
One of the most popular wrestlers
who's
right
getting
now.
Chanted multiple times in New York on Sunday and Monday.
Do you think it's interesting that because, if anything, this gives the WWE more chance to not unionize? They're like, well, this kayfabe free agent, they like him. He's an independent contractor.
Yeah, let's see how that one holds up in court. So the 16 hours of programming and the best 20 minutes of it, not many. I mean, wrestling fans now have seen it, but no one was really watching what happened. There's a post show for a 2-hour SmackDown called Talking Smack, where your hosts, Renee Young and Daniel Bryan, talk smack. And since nobody's watching it, including Vince McMahon probably, Daniel Bryan's just been going up there and saying anything he wants.
He plugged a different promotion.
Evolve.
Wasn't that Cody Rhodes' first?
That's where Cody Rhodes was on 60. Yeah, on Friday and yes, Friday.
So pretty
Saturday.
Much Daniel Bryan just goes, oh, I went to go see my old friend Cody Rhodes.
I want to say in the Cruiserweight, they've probably mentioned, I don't know if they've mentioned Evolve, but they work with Evolve is the thing. So Evolve's okay because like they have this kind of, in the 90s, ECW had the relationship with WWF. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what they have now.
Okay.
So like Gargano and Ciampa, they were Evolve guys. They've had Regal's shown up in character at Evolve shows. So that was like allowed. But he's been doing stuff like that. He's been kind of shooting, telling the truth. So I want to call the show Shooting Smack, but I don't think that's going to work. So Nikki's there to have her second attempt at an interview in the night. And Carmella jumped her again. And they acted and they sold it like, wow, someone just Chris Browned our Today Show. You know, like... I'm sure there's a rest.
That's not a statement. That's not a phrase people use.
More people have used Chris Browned our show than tits up, I think.
Once again, these are yours. You pick those statements.
I think they're real. And
they're
it's like
not
wrestling.
Real statement.
It's like wrestling.
Nope, it's
I
not
said
if you
it.
Believe it.
No, I didn't change my position. I just changed the words I used.
All right, so that's
Talking
good.
Talking Smack also had the Usos.
The Usos come up, and they're like, why don't people like you? Oh, because of our IRL cousin. You guys don't like him for some weird reason. That was crazy.
Yeah, they threw him under the bus. They're no longer on the same show. They can probably become faces again because they're not tethered to a rotting corpse.
And then finally, the most interesting part of the entire weekend was a real... Was it a... It's hard
no,
to tell.
It's not. And that's why it's great. Because it's definitely like... It's a work. This was planned. There's elements of reality. It's like Stone Cold says, you take your real-life personality, turn it to 11.
Yeah, like The Undertaker.
Yeah, he's
like
just...
Like the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, right now, Undertaker's a little dead. And now he's all dead when he's the character.
Okay, so The Miz, former mentor.
He was the mentor on NXT when it was still basically Tough Enough for Daniel Bryan. It was a storyline role.
He trained him. He was not a fan. And Miz has been only with the WWE, coming from the real world. And Daniel Bryan's journey was very, very different.
hitting every single indie, talks about how much he loves the indies, and how that's the correct or proper way to wrestle, and that's the opposite of Miz.
The reason I wrestle the way I wrestle is because I can do it day in and day out all the time for 10 plus years. I have never, never in my career ever have been injured. I don't get injured for 6 months to a year. I am here each and every week. But you sit there and call me a coward? Yeah. I'm the coward. Wait, let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them. I promise you, I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward. Okay, I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, if you would? Yeah. You would. You love that WWE ring. You love being wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring. And you love wrestling, right? Well, yeah. Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit?
It was really, really, really good and everything that I like about wrestling.
Yeah. And there's some great stuff in that. And the whole thing of, like, the fact that Brian kind of pokes the bear by saying you wrestle like a coward. I mean, call any guy. I don't care if it's playtime. Call someone else a coward. See what happens. So it kind of amps up the energy right away. But there is this is like when a heel is the best is when they're kind of right. And here, and he's almost entirely right, because what's more cowardly, fighting a kind of boring style that kind of works, and doing this now, you know, a decade, having headlined WrestleMania, been in movies, done all this stuff, have a hot wife, or be forced into retirement and have a mental breakdown because your brain is dying, because you decided to wrestle the right way. So which is one cowardly? So, I mean, it works in reality. It also ties back, like you said, to that mentor-protege relationship. They've had a long-running storyline. And the fact that, like, Brian walks off sells it even more. And the fact that Miz went, he's selling it like he's going to have this Intercontinental belt forever, and I actually don't mind. They've turned this, if they turn into the Miz belt and he beats Honky's record at 450, he should do it because he's doing really good work. And that whole promo, I think, was some of the best stuff I've seen this year, and it's definitely the best thing we've seen from Miz in a long time.
It's his Piper moment. It's his Piper coconut moment. It is that good. And what's the wrestling? What's the political equivalent? Is there one? Is there a guy that just snaps?
A long-term person, someone who's just kind of there for a while and then just snaps.
And then they like, and people realize like, actually, yeah, you're right. You're totally right.
16 hours of wrestling. If it's not in the notes, I'm not coming up with any great analysis.
I feel like there might be McCain at one point. That might be Joe Biden.
I was going to say Samoa.
It might be
Samoa Joe Biden.
Be Joe Lieberman.
There's so many Samoa Joes.
No, there's got to be one.
Yeah.
I kind of been waiting for this for Hillary. Like, what's wrong with you people?
That might have been what happened today. We didn't really get into that, but her speech today where she was like, this guy's just been taken over by a bunch of crazy right-wing meme people. Wake up, sheeple.
So Hillary is the Miz.
You know, she kind of came into this game in like a side way.
She's got a spouse that most people prefer.
And she's been doing it slow and steady for a long time. She's been close to the top, you know, almost won the whole thing. Yeah, Hillary is no longer Roman Reigns on this podcast. She's the Miz.
Hi, everybody. One last thing before we go. As we mentioned on the podcast, this usually happens right when we finish recording. Another news item breaks. And this, quoting from Politico, just happened 9 o'clock on Thursday night. Stephen K. Bannon, the new CEO of the Donald Trump campaign, was charged with misdemeanor domestic violence, battery, and dissuading a witness following an incident in early January 1996, though the case was ultimately dismissed. That's according to a police report and court documents. It's also a reminder, in 2002, Stone Cold Steve Austin was arrested and charged with domestic abuse in a case with his wife, Deborah Marshall. He pled no contest in November 2002 and was given a year's probation.